السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آج اللہ تعالیٰ کے فضل سے
After reciting the Tashahud, Tawuz and Surah Fatiha, Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ayyadahullah Ta'ala bin Nasir al-Aziz said, Today, by the grace of Allah, the annual Ijtima of Majlis Ansarullah UK is commencing. In this respect, I wish to draw the attention of the Ansar to an extremely important but fundamental matter. And that is Salat, i.e. prayer. Salat is obligatory upon every believer. However, after the age of 40, one should have developed an increased sense of awareness of the fact that with the passing of each day, one's life is decreasing. In such a state, the attention towards the worship of Allah and Salat should increase, for that time is fast approaching when one will have to present himself before Allah the Almighty, where the reckoning of each and every action of ours will take place. In such a state, every believer, i.e. everyone who believes in the life after death and the last day, should be worried that he must be among those who fulfill the rights of Allah the Almighty as well as the rights of his servants. And that he may present himself before Allah the Almighty while endeavoring to fulfill these rites according to his ability. Whenever Allah the Almighty has drawn the attention towards observing Salat, he has emphasized on regularity in Salat, timely observance of all the prayers, and that they should be performed in congregation. The commandment is of Qiyamus Salat, i.e. observing the prayer. And Qiyamus Salat literally means to observe Salat on time and in congregation. However, it has been observed. The organizers from Ansarullah are probably also analyzing, and they should be analyzing this from their reports, that although the age of the Ansar is an age of maturity and solemnity, they do not pay attention towards Salat in congregation in a manner that would be considered sufficient. Thus, Ansarullah should pay the most attention towards this, that each member is regular in congregational prayers. Rather, every Nasir should himself analyze his state and endeavor to become regular in congregational prayers. One should undertake the utmost effort to observe prayers in congregation, except in the case of an illness or disability. if there is no mosque or salat center nearby, then some people of a particular area can congregate at someone's house to observe salat in congregation. Even if that provision is not available, then the members of a household should observe congregational prayer. This will also develop an awareness regarding congregational prayers amongst the children and the youth. Thus, Ansarullah will only become Ansarullah, i.e. helpers of Allah in the true sense, if they play their role in establishing the faith of Allah the Almighty and in acting upon it and in ensuring that others act upon it as well. If they are not carrying out worship, which is the purpose for creating mankind, then they will not be able to ensure that those over whom they have been made responsible are acting upon it. Or if they do not act upon it and do not become role models, then they are Ansarullah only by name. Today, we are not waging a war with physical weapons, where one may require helpers. Rather, the promised Messiah alayhi salam has stated that the weapon which shall lead us to victory is prayer. Thus, in order to become Ansarullah, it is necessary to use this weapon of prayer. For that, it is also important to utilize this weapon according to the ways taught by Allah the Almighty. Only once this takes place, we will truly do justice to the bayt of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. He says, "If you fail to heed to my words and do not infuse a pious reformation in yourselves, it is worthless entering into my bayt," i.e. the oath of allegiance. Thus, every Nasir, i.e. member of Ansarullah, must especially assess his own condition as to what extent does he adhere to performing the namaz and to setting an example before his own children. What is the state of the prayers he offers? Does he perform the prayer simply considering it as a duty and a burden? Or does he do all of this for the sake of attaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty? The promised Messiah alayhi salam has repeatedly and at numerous occasions drawn our attention towards the subject of prayer and it being binding, its wisdom, the method it should be performed, and the philosophy behind prayer and its timings. At this time, I will present some of the Promised Messiah's statements that shed light on the significance and wisdom of prayers. In one gathering, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam explained why prayers must be offered regularly and punctually by saying, "Offer your prayers with proper regularity. There are some who only offer one of the prayers. They should remember that prayers are not exempt, and this even applies to the messengers. It is narrated in a hadith that a new group visited the Prophet ﷺ who wanted concession for the prayers. The Holy Prophet ﷺ replied that a religion without actions is a worthless religion. Therefore, remember this point thoroughly and fashion your actions according to the commands of Allah the Almighty. One of the signs of Allah the Almighty is that the heavens and the earth remain intact because of Him. Only the will of Allah the Almighty enables for the sustenance of the heavens and the earth. Without His will, this would not be possible. At times, people whose disposition is inclined towards nature follow nature as their religion. If the principles of health are not adhered to, then righteousness and purity cannot give one any benefit. People have created their own philosophies. The Prophet ﷺ states, "So bear in mind that among the signs of Allah the Almighty, one is that sometimes medicines prove futile and have no impact upon one's health, and nor can a skilled doctor even do anything. However, if the will of Allah the Almighty is present, then anything can be completely transformed aright. To achieve this, it is necessary to develop a relationship with Allah the Almighty. The best way for this is worship, and in worship it is to offer namaz." On another occasion, the Prophet Messiah explains the importance and reality of prayer, its needs, and the state one should pray in, and says, "What is prayer? It is a special type of supplication, yet people consider it to be a tax imposed by a king. People fail to understand that what need does God have for this? His being is free of all wants, and so why would he require man's prayers, tasbih, saying subhanallah, and tahleel, i.e. saying la ilaha illallah? Indeed, it is man alone who stands to gain benefit from this, as by doing so, he can attain his purpose. Through prayers, man can fulfill his needs and wants and attain the purpose of his life." I am greatly saddened to see that today there is no love towards worship, righteousness, and devotedness to religion. The reason for this is because people carry out things superficially as customs with a poisonous effect. This is why love for Allah the Almighty is declining. People do not take enjoyment and delight from worship as they should. Everything Allah the Almighty has made in this world has in it something to give us pleasure, gratification, and for man to derive special satisfaction from it. One who is ill does not derive pleasure from an exquisite and flavorsome meal, and instead it is unpalatable or completely bland to him. A sick person's tongue becomes tasteless and is unable to enjoy anything. This is commonly observed in people who are ill. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Similarly, those who derive no pleasure in worshipping the Divine should be concerned for their well-being. One who finds no delight in prayers is also considered ill, because, as I have mentioned earlier, everything in the world has been infused with some kind of pleasure and delight by Allah the Almighty. Allah the Almighty has created mankind for worship. So what is the reason that man fails to find pleasure and satisfaction from worship? Certainly, worship is imbued with pleasure and satisfaction. However, there needs to be someone to derive this pleasure from it. Allah the Almighty states, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, i.e. I have not created the jinn and the men, but that they may worship me. This therefore necessitates that the highest and utmost form of pleasure and enjoyment should be found in worship. The extreme point of pleasure must be within worship. Otherwise, if Allah the Almighty simply created man without any purpose, or for that purpose to be void of any benefit or pleasure, how could man attain this purpose? We can understand this point from our everyday observation and experience. All foods that we eat or things we drink have been created as provisions for man, i.e. all food and drink have been made for man to consume. And so does he or she not derive pleasure and delight from these things? Does he or she not possess a tongue in his mouth to taste and enjoy these things? Has God the Almighty not made beautiful and exquisite things in the world, whether vegetation or inorganic nature, fossils, minerals, stones, etc., whether plants, fruits or mountains, or whether animals, such that we derive pleasure observing them? Certainly we enjoy and take delight in seeing these things. Does one's ears not find joy in listening to melodious and harmonious sounds? Then what more reasons does one require to demonstrate that there is pleasure in worship? God Almighty states, the Prophet Messiah further says, Allah the Almighty says that He has created man and woman as a pair and inclined them towards one another. There is no compulsion here, rather enjoyment and pleasure has also been instilled. If the objective was simply to procreate generation after generation, then the purpose could never be achieved. He says, understand this well, that worship is not a burden and nor a tax. Rather, there is pleasure and enjoyment in it. And the delight found in worship is much greater than all the delights and satisfactions found in the world. As one who is ill and sick is deprived of the taste and delight derived from tasty food, similarly, it is a lowly and miserable person who takes no pleasure from worship to Allah the Almighty. Thus, one fails to derive enjoyment in prayer, is weak, negligent, and lazy, and thus is deprived of the blessings of Allah the Almighty. Further elaborating on what a real prayer consists of and how it should be performed, the Prophet Muhammad states, remember that prayer is something that adorns and improves one's worldly life as well as faith. However, often the prayers one offers incurs upon them a curse. As Allah the Almighty says, so woe to those who pray, but are mindful of their prayer. In other words, woe be on those who are ignorant of the essence of prayer. Prayers are something that save a person from all forms of transgressions and wrongdoings, as well as indecencies. However, offering true prayers does not lie in the hands of man. Rather, the proper way of praying cannot be achieved without the help and succor of Allah the Almighty. Also, a person must pray and supplicate constantly and committedly, and only then can he or she develop a state of humility and pray with intense devotion and weep in their prayers. In order to offer the prayers, and in order to acquire this status, where a person refrains from all forms of evil, an endeavor is required. One must acquire the blessings of Allah the Exalted, and for this one must display humility and fervor. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, therefore, your day and your night, in fact, each and every moment must be filled with prayer. Hence, in order to attain the pleasure and delight of prayer, one must acquire the blessings of Allah the Exalted. Furthermore, in order to acquire the blessings of Allah the Exalted, one must prostrate before Him and remember Him even whilst walking around. Moreover, one must seek this with humility. When a person develops such a condition, he will experience a delight in prayers. Furthermore, mentioning the reason and solution for why a person does not experience delight in prayers, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, I observe that people are heedless and slack in prayers, as they are unaware of the delight and pleasure which Allah the Exalted has placed therein. This is one of the key reasons. Furthermore, the carelessness and heedlessness in cities and villages is even greater. Those who live in populated areas, those who are occupied, slack even more due to their engagements. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, said, hence, even 1/50th does not bow in front of their true master with the utmost eagerness and true affection. Upon this, the question arises why they are unaware of this pleasure and have neither experienced it. Such commandments are not to be found in other religions. Other religions do not have such commandments to worship regularly. The Prophet Muhammad said, at times it so happens that we are engrossed in our engagements, and the muazzin, i.e. the person who gives the call to prayer, gives the adhan, i.e. the call for prayer, and they do not wish to even listen to it, as if by doing so their hearts ache. Such people are extremely piteous. The adhan has been called, however, they did not listen to it, or the time for prayer approached, yet they did not pay any attention towards this. The Prophet Muhammad says that such people are extremely piteous. The Prophet Muhammad was sitting in a gathering and said, there are some people here as well that when you look at their shops, you will find them to be under mosques, yet they never go and stand in prayers. In other words, they do not go for prayers. He said, "Thus, I wish to say that you should supplicate to God the Exalted with the utmost fervor and passion by saying that just as you, O Allah, bestowed us with various pleasures of fruits and other items, do also endow us once with the pleasure of prayer and worship." The Promised Messiah ﷺ says, "What one has eaten is retained in one's memory. Look, when a person looks at someone beautiful with delight, he remembers them vividly. On the other hand, if one sees an unattractive or unpleasant countenance, then that horrific appearance manifests itself in its entirety. Indeed, nothing is remembered if there is no relation. A person merely remembers beauty and unattractiveness from the lens with which he looks at them. However, if there is no relation, it makes no difference and nothing is remembered." The Promised Messiah ﷺ said, "Similarly, prayer in the eyes of those who do not offer prayers is a penalty in that they unjustly have to wake up in the morning, perform ablution in the cold, leave their blissful sleep, as well as various other comforts and offer it." The Promised Messiah ﷺ says, "The fact of the matter is that he is averse to it. He is unable to comprehend it. He is unaware of the pleasure and comfort which is experienced in prayer. He is unaware of the pleasure and comfort that is felt in prayer." The Promised Messiah ﷺ said, "How then can he attain pleasure in prayer?" He says, "I observe that when a drunkard, an alcoholic, does not attain the pleasure, he drinks one glass after the other until he feels some kind of intoxication. A wise and saintly person can derive benefit from this example, and he can do so by being steadfast and regular in prayers, and continue to pray until he experiences a delight. He should continue to pray to Allah the Exalted that, O Allah, endow me with the pleasure and delight in prayers which you have placed in other things." He said, "He should be steadfast and continue to pray until he experiences this pleasure. In similitude to a drunkard who has an assumed sense of pleasure in his mind and is determined to acquire it, one should employ his mind and all of his faculties in acquiring this delight in prayers. He should employ all of his faculties in acquiring this pleasure and delight in prayers." The Promised Messiah ﷺ said, "Furthermore, one should supplicate with sincerity and passion, which should at least be of the same degree of the restless and agony of the drunkard for that pleasure to be acquired. If one does so, if a person prays to acquire this pleasure with agony and restlessness, the Promised Messiah ﷺ says, if one does so, I say and I do so truthfully that this pleasure would most certainly be required." The Promised Messiah ﷺ further says, "At the time of offering the prayer, one should also keep in mind the benefits that are acquired through it, as well as the good works. Innal hasanat yudhibna sayyi'at." Allah the Exalted says, "Surely good works drive away evil works. Thus, one should keep these good works and pleasures in mind and pray to acquire the standard of prayer of truthfulness. And those who do good works..." God the Exalted said, "Innal hasanat yudhibna sayyi'at," i.e. good works drive away evil works. At another place, Allah the Exalted said that prayer safeguards a person from indecency and manifest evil. However, we observe that some people, despite observing prayer, indulge in evil works. The answer to this is that they observe prayer, however, they do so without spirit and honesty. There is no spirit in their prayers. The Promised Messiah ﷺ said, "They merely strike their heads as a ritual and customary practice. Their spirit is dead." Allah the Exalted has not mentioned these prayers to be hasanat, i.e. good works. Furthermore, here Allah the Exalted has used the word hasanat and not as-salat, even though they carry the same meaning. The reason for this is to indicate towards the excellent splendor and beauty of prayer, in that the prayer which is offered with the spirit of honesty and which contains an essence of divine blessings removes evil works. That prayer most certainly removes evil works. The Promised Messiah ﷺ further says, "Prayer is not the name of sitting down and standing up. Prayer does not imply merely sitting down and standing up. The essence and the spirit of prayer is a supplication which is offered with pleasure and delight." With regards to how to attain the spirit and objective of prayer, the Promised Messiah ﷺ says that the pillars of prayer, i.e. Qiyam, Ruku, Sajda and Qada, i.e. the various postures of the formal prayer. All of these postures have been made a part of the prayer in order to attain and acquire this objective and spirit. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, "The pillars of prayer are in fact spiritual forms of sitting down and standing up. A person has to stand before God the Exalted, and the Qiyam, i.e. the standing posture, is also amongst the etiquettes to be displayed by a servant. When servants meet a person of higher rank, they stand in their presence out of respect. Hence, the Qiyam in prayer is a sign of respect. The Ruku, i.e. the bowing posture, which is the second stage, indicates a person's readiness as to how low he is willing to bow in obedience to the command. The sajda, i.e. the prostrating position, indicates absolute respect and the utmost meekness and humility, which manifests the objective of worship. When a person prostrates, he enters a state of non-existence and the utmost meekness and humility. This is the very objective of worship, in that I prostrate before Allah the Exalted." The Promised Messiah says, "These are the etiquettes which Allah the Exalted has prescribed as a reminder, and He has done so in order to allow the body to connect with the soul. In the same manner, a person is physically and apparently demonstrating these etiquettes, he should also do so within, in a spiritual sense, with his spirit. His heart should also perform the qiyam, ruku, and sajda in the same manner." The Promised Messiah then says, "Apart from this spiritual manner, in accordance with material means, a physical manner has also been prescribed. Now, if the physical manner, which is a reflection of the internal and spiritual manner, is a mere mimicry, i.e. tying the hands, bowing down, and prostrating, if all of these are merely a soulless act, sitting down and standing up, and a mimicry," the Prophet ﷺ then says, "and if one tries to throw it aside, considering it to be a heavy burden, then tell me what pleasure and delight can be derived therefrom. Furthermore, until a pleasure and delight is acquired, how can its reality be proven? If a person does not experience a delight and pleasure, the reality of prayer cannot be proven." The Prophet ﷺ says, "This can only be attained when the soul enters a state of non-existence and absolute humility and falls upon the divine threshold. Thus, the soul must also prostrate and fall in front of Allah the Exalted as the body of a person does at the time of prostration. Furthermore, the soul should also utter the words which are uttered by one's tongue, and they should be uttered from the heart." The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, then says, "It is then that a pleasure, a light, and a comfort is attained." He then says, "I wish to elaborate this even further. A human being is formed only after it passes through various stages, i.e. when he was a mere droplet. As a matter of fact, even prior to this, when all the components and the various elements of the droplet were assembled, thereby becoming a fetus and then into a baby after passing through various stages. Then he develops into a young man and then grows old. In short, when he testifies to the providence of Allah the Exalted in all of these stages, which he undergoes at various times, and when he portrays this in his mind at every moment, then he will be able to place his subservience parallel to the providence of God. When a person reflects on how he was created, the various stages he passed through, how he grew, and how Allah the Exalted nurtured him and raised him up, only then can a person think of discharging the duties of his servitude to God in its correct manner, and only can a person then think of becoming and fulfilling the duties of a true abd, i.e. servant." The Promised Messiah then says, "Hence, the objective of experiencing a pleasure and delight in prayer can only be acquired when a relationship between one's servitude and God's providence is developed. Until a person does not annihilate his inner self or declare himself to be non-existent, i.e. consider yourself to be worthless and insignificant, which is the requirement of the attribute of God's providence, he will not be endowed with his blessings. If you wish to acquire the blessings of Allah the Exalted, you must demonstrate absolute servitude to God." The Promised Messiah ﷺ says, "If one does so, he experiences a pleasure of the highest standard, which has no equivalent. At this stage, when the soul of a person is completely humbled, It flows towards God Almighty in the likeness of a fountain, and he breaks every tie with whatever exists besides Allah, i.e. he severs all ties with everything that exists besides Allah. At that time, the love of God, the Exalted, descends upon him. At that time, this bond, a unique state, is brought about as a result of these two passions, the passion of God's providence from above and the passion of a person's servitude from below. When such a bond is formed, the providence of Allah the Exalted becomes impassioned, as well as the servitude of a person. When these two form a bond, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says that at that time a unique state is brought about. He said, this is called Salat. This unique state is called Salat, which is brought about when a bond between God's providence and a person's servitude is formed. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, thus, this is the prayer which removes evil works. Allah the Exalted says that the prayer of this standard removes and eradicates evil works and vices. He then says, furthermore, it leaves in its place a light and an illumination which serves as a beacon of light for the seeker for the dangers of the road and at times of difficulties. It serves as a light, as a torchlight. Furthermore, it makes him aware and safeguards him from all types of sticks, thorns and rocks that he may stumble upon along the path. This is the condition for where it has been stated, Inna salata tanha anil fahshahi wal munkar, which means, surely prayer keeps one away from indecency and manifest evil. This is because he has a beacon of light not in his hand but in his heart. The Promised Messiah then says, the condition of Inna salata tanha anil fahshahi wal munkar can then be applied to him, and his prayer will keep him away from evil and indecency. The Promised Messiah then states, and this state is only attained through complete humility, annihilation of the soul, and complete obedience. When one reaches such a state, it is not possible for him to even think of evil, indecency, and disobedience. And it is not possible for him to reject the truth. Thus, one reaches such a state of delight that I find no words to express the magnitude of that joy and delight which one attains. Then, whilst elaborating on the point that a true dignified believer never prostrates to anyone but Allah the Almighty, as one should, and also refrain from making any other than Allah the focal point of our attention, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, another aspect that I wish to elaborate is that Salat, the likes of that can be truly deemed to be Salat, can only be attained through prayer. To pray to anyone other than God is completely against the honor of a dignified believer, because this honor of the prayer is only for God. Until and unless a person annihilates himself and solely beseeches and begs Allah, he can never be referred to as a true Muslim and a true believer. The essence of Islam is solely this, that all of a person's abilities, external and internal, should fall at the threshold of the Almighty. Just as a large engine controls many individual parts, unless a person also makes his actions subservient to that great power of the engine, he will not be able to believe in the divinity of God. And he will not truly be called a Hanif, i.e. one ever inclined to Allah, as mentioned in the prayer, Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal ard. I have turned my face towards him who created the heavens and the earth. As he utters these words, he should immediately begin to focus on prayer. When one declares that they have turned their full attention to God and affirms that they are ones who worship the one God, then they should turn their full attention towards him. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam continues by saying, if his actions confirm to his words, then surely he is a Muslim. He is a believer and one who inclines to God Almighty. However, the person who begs before beings other than God Almighty and inclines towards them should remember this fact, that they are among the unfortunate and deprived ones, because the time is nigh when they will not be able to prostrate before God verbally nor physically. the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam further states, one reason for not inclining to prayer and for laziness is that when a person inclines to beings other than Allah, his soul and heart incline towards them also. Just like the tree whose branches at the onset are made to incline towards one particular direction, and as a result, it always tends to incline in that direction as it receives sustenance. Thus, this is a matter of great importance. When one abandons prayer or shows meekness in observing prayer, whilst at the same time relies on beings other than Allah, then that individual begins to move away, like that tree on which the branches are turned towards a certain direction, which results in the branches growing in that direction. Then a stiffness descends upon his heart from Allah, which makes it congealed and stone-like, similar to branches that cannot be twisted to face the other direction. As the days go by, his heart and soul move further and further away from God Almighty. Thus, this is a grave matter and something that makes the heart tremble, that a person should beg before anyone other than God. This is why it is important to establish and make Salat a constant feature of one's life, so that initially it becomes a permanent habit and an ideology of turning to Allah becomes ingrained. Then, gradually that time approaches when a person inherits a light and a pleasure in the state of complete self-annihilation. He then becomes distant from everything else and severs all ties, only submitting towards God Almighty. At this stage, man is bestowed with a light and attains tranquility. The Prophet Sallallahu further states, I would like to emphasize this matter once again, that I regret that I have not found words in which I should set out the evils of inclining towards anyone except God. People prostrate before others and flatter them, which kindles the honor of God Almighty, as this is the prayer of worldly people. Thus, God Almighty withdraws from such a person and casts him aside. I set out the matter in a simplified manner, though this is not its true reality, but it is easy to comprehend with this example, that the honor of a dignified man would not tolerate another person forming a relationship with his wife. In such a case, he would consider his disgraceful wife worthy of being killed, and occasionally this does occur. Similar is the passion and honor of the divine. God Almighty is a highly honorable being. Worship and prayer are reserved for his being alone. He does not approve that anyone else should be worshipped or should be called on in supplication. Thus, hearken and remember well that to incline towards anyone beside Allah is to cut asunder from him. Whether one declares it to be prayer or tawheed, i.e. the oneness of God, it is the same, for prayer is the name of the practical proclamation of the unity of God. Both in such circumstances are without blessing and are vain, if they are empty of humility and nothingness, and are not pursued with the heart that inclines to God. Then with regards to one developing other thoughts in prayers, as one occasionally develops other inclinations during prayer, the Prophet Sallallahu states, those people who do not focus their attention completely on God Almighty in prayers are the ones who develop many other thoughts. Observe how when a criminal stands before a judge, does he develop any other thoughts in his mind? The Prophet Sallallahu elaborates by saying, it is impossible for him to develop any other thought. All of his attention is focused towards the judge, awaiting the verdict to be pronounced. In such a condition, he is completely unaware of his own existence. In the same way, if man turns to God with a sincere heart and falls upon the threshold of the Almighty with a pious heart, how is it possible for Satan to ever induce thoughts into one's mind? These days, due to the influence of atheism, people have certain questions on their minds, such as why one should pray or whether God is in need of our prayers. Elaborating on these questions, the Prophet Sallallahu states, God Almighty is self-sufficient and is in no need of our prayers. Rather, we are the ones who require prayer. Then the Prophet Sallallahu also states, one should be mindful of the fact that when one observes prayer, they do not adhere to it due to the idea that God Almighty is in need of our prayers. God Almighty is in no need of our prayers, for He is self-sufficient and independent of everything in all the worlds. He does not depend upon anyone. Through this, i.e. prayer, he indicates that it is man that is in need of prayer. There is a hidden secret in the fact that man is always in search for things that will benefit him. That is why he seeks from God Almighty, as it is an undeniable fact that forging a connection with God Almighty is equivalent to gaining something that is truly beneficial. Even if the entire world becomes the enemy of such an individual and sets out to destroy him, even then nothing can harm him. For the sake of such an individual, even if God Almighty has to destroy hundreds of thousands of people, he would do so. In the place of that one individual, he would annihilate thousands. How did the companions triumph? Expounding on this, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "No sword can win the hearts than the sword of sincerity. The companions achieve triumph due to these qualities, and this cannot be achieved through speech alone." The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, "Nowadays there is no spiritual radiance that reflects forth from their countenance, and nor is there any spirituality or divine insight in them. They lack the insight into true significance of salat, and consequently they are deprived of the spiritual light that one receives through salat. Salat is considered as burdensome activity." The Prophet ﷺ further states, "God Almighty is not cruel, but the fact is that they lack sincerity in their hearts. Actions performed habitually or as a customary practice are of no benefit." The Prophet ﷺ here is describing the general state of people at the time, but by the grace of Allah the Almighty, there are many people in the Jamaat who observe their prayers with great sincerity. However, there is an important lesson and a warning for us in this as well, so we must also be mindful of this. The Prophet Messiah further says, "One should not assume from this that I am degrading the status of Salat. However, one should ask those who observe the Salat, which has been mentioned in the Holy Quran and is considered to be the means of spiritual ascension, that do they even know the meaning of what they read in Surah Fatiha? There are some who have been observing Salat for the last 50 years, but you will find that when asked, many of them are completely unaware of its meaning and its true significance, even though the knowledge of this is superior to all other forms of secular knowledge. In order to acquire worldly knowledge, they toil and go to great lengths in their struggle, but when it comes to Salat, they are so careless that they simply offer it as if reciting a mantra. This is the condition observed in many of the Muslims." The Prophet Messiah further states, "In fact, I say that do not hold yourself back from offering supplication in your own language during Salat. Indeed, one can offer the supplications in Urdu, Punjabi, English, or in any other language one speaks. However, it is compulsory to read the prescribed words of God Almighty, and do not add anything from yourself in them. Recite it just as it is, and try to understand its meaning. Similarly, also recite the prescribed prayers. However, after the recitation of the Holy Quran and the prescribed prayers, then one can ask God Almighty for whatever one wills, and in whichever language he so wishes, as Allah has knowledge of all languages and listens to them and accepts them." The Prophet Messiah further states, "If you wish to seek the delight and pleasure in your Salat, then it is necessary that you offer some supplications in your own language. However, it is often observed that Salat is offered by merely going through the physical postures, and thereafter one begins to supplicate. This is common among the non-Ahmadi Muslims in many of the Muslim countries. They hastily offer their Salat and afterwards raise their hands to supplicate." The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states, "From this it is evident that Salat is considered as if it were an unlawful tax, and if they display any kind of sincerity, then it is only after having completed the Salat. They do not realize that Salat in itself is in fact a prayer, which is offered with great humility, sincerity and fervency. It is prayer alone that is the key to achieving great feats, and it is this very first step in opening the doors of God Almighty's grace." The Prophet Messiah Islam further states, "It is of no benefit to simply offer Salat as a ritual or customary practice. In fact, not only does God Almighty not accept such prayers, but has cursed and sent his woe to those who offer prayers in such a manner. It is God Almighty himself who stated, 'Woe to those who pray.' And this is in regards to those who are ignorant of the true essence of Salat and its meaning. The language of the companions was Arabic, and therefore they had a deep understanding of its true significance. However, for us, it is essential to understand its meaning and thereby make our Salat delightful. But these people think that another prophet has come and he has abrogated the observance of Salat. The Prophet Muhammad here is talking about those who speak against him. He says that when he tells them to make supplications in their own language, they allege that he has brought a new Sharia. The Prophet Muhammad says, God Almighty does not benefit, but it is man himself who benefits from it, as he has the opportunity to present himself in the presence or the divine court of God. One is bestowed with the honor of being able to submit his entreaties before him, by means of which one can seek salvation from many difficulties. I am amazed at how people can live a life wherein their day passes, as does their night, and yet they are unaware of the fact that they have a God. Remember that such a person perished in the past, and so will he in the future. The Prophet ﷺ states, I impart a very important piece of advice to you, and I wish that it enters the hearts of people. Life is quickly passing by, therefore do away with indolence and occupy yourself in earnest supplication. Supplicate to God in seclusion so that God Almighty protects your faith and becomes pleased with you. Granting us advice on another occasion in the reality of Salat, the Prophet Messiah states, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And as for those who strive in our path, we will surely guide them in our ways. One should strive to their utmost, and they shall reach their ultimate destination. One should make an effort and do jihad, i.e. strive, as the Prophet Messiah states that seeking repentance and forgiveness is the means to attain God. Thus, one should reflect upon this. God Almighty states that when one makes an effort in his ways, then he guides them towards the right paths. The Prophet Messiah states, God Almighty does not hold anything back from anyone. After all, the sages and saints were from among these very Muslims. Even today, the door of his mercy is not closed. Develop a pure heart, observe prayers in an excellent manner, and continue praying and adhere to our teachings, and we too shall pray for you. Remember that our practice is exactly the same as the Holy Prophet ﷺ and his noble companions. Nowadays, the religious saints have introduced all sorts of harmful innovations into faith, which we are averse to, such as self-imposed daily service of certain rituals and other frequent repetition of pious formulas. There are many people who say that, can you tell us a specific prayer or a particular practice that we should adopt? However, the main thing is Salat. Every Ahmadi should completely focus on Salat. The Prophet ﷺ states, the proper method as stated in Islam is that one should read the Holy Quran and carefully ponder over its meaning and to adhere to whatever it states. Moreover, it is to observe Salat with complete attentiveness and to continue supplicating with concentration and penitence. Thus, it is only Salat which enables one to reach the spiritual apex. If one has this, then he has everything. The Salat which leads one to a spiritual apex is one that melts the heart of one who stands before God Almighty. Alongside the obligatory Salat, the Prophet Messiah also drew our attention towards offering the Tahajjud, i.e. the pre-dawn voluntary prayer. The auxiliary organization of Ansarullah should particularly be mindful of observing this. The Prophet Messiah states, if all the efforts of this life are exhausted on worldly pursuits, then what have you amassed for the hereafter? If your every breath and your entire life is spent in pursuit of your worldly affairs, then what have you amassed for the hereafter? The Prophet Sallallahu states, make special efforts to wake up for the Tahajjud prayer and observe it with great delight and eagerness. During the day, you are subject to a trial because your employments come between you and your prayers. At times, one is faced with such a trial and sometimes the prayer time is missed. However, the Prophet Sallallahu states, God Almighty is the provider. Daily Salat should be done on time. Zuhr and Asr prayers can sometimes be combined. God Almighty knew that there would be those who are weak among the people. Therefore, He has given us this leniency. However, this leniency does not extend to combining three prayers. Where people have to face punishments in their professional careers and in other circumstances and are even reprimanded by their officials, how great it would be if people also put themselves through hardships for the sake of God Almighty. If one is undertaking great difficulty in one's worldly pursuits, then what harm is there if one undertakes a little difficulty in order to fulfill the obligation of Salat? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states, it is a great blessing of God Almighty that through His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, He has revealed to us the path that leads to the perfect and complete doctrines without us having to toil or make an effort. He has shown the path without us having to toil or make any effort. Many scholars are still deprived of this path which has been shown to you in this age. God Almighty has revealed this path to the Ahmadis because they have accepted the promise of Sayyid al-Islam. Thus, be grateful to God Almighty for this blessing and reward, and to express your gratitude is that with a sincere heart, adopt the righteous practices which come in the subsequent stage after having believed in these perfect doctrines. Benefit from your current state and supplicate so that you may remain firm on these perfect doctrines. The acts of worship that are included in the subsequent stage are fasting, salat, zakat, etc. For instance, ponder over salat. It has come into this world and it is not a product of this world. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has stated, "Qurratu ayni fi salat." Then explaining how one can attain perfect belief in true tawheed, i.e. the oneness of God, the Prophet ﷺ states, "Belief in tawheed can only be perfected when we believe that it is only God who can fulfill all our desires and the ultimate hope of all our ailments. This is a true meaning of the creed, there is none worthy of worship except Allah." The Sufis have taken the word Ilah as to mean the true beloved, the sole objective and the worthy of worship. The Prophet ﷺ states, "Indeed, until a person is not firmly established upon tawheed, the truth and greatness of Islam does not take root in him. I return to my initial subject and say that the pleasure and joy of Salat cannot be enjoyed by a person until and unless one shuns away all impure and filthy intentions. Unless a person rids himself of his ego and arrogance and replaces it with nothingness and humility, he cannot become a truthful one of God. And the best teacher and means for teaching perfect servitude is Salat. I tell you again that if you wish to establish a true relationship with God, hold fast to Salat in such a way that your body and your tongue and the intentions of your soul and emotions should all become a true embodiment of Salat. May God Almighty enable every one of us to remain firm on true Tawheed and to safeguard our Salat and experience His delight, instead of making others our idol. It should only be God Almighty who we believe to be worthy of worship. I have been informed that the site in which the Ijtima of the Ansarullah is taking place, perhaps it may not be possible to make arrangements to offer the Maghrib and Isha prayers, because they have to vacate the hall by a particular time in the evening. If that is correct, then the administration should make arrangements for congregational prayers elsewhere and take everyone there. And in future, the auxiliary organization of Ansarullah should hold their Ijtima at a site where they can make arrangements for all five prayers. In any case, may God Almighty grant them a successful Ijtima, and may we become true worshippers of God.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر